Welcome to Demystification, a bi-weekly podcast produced by the NC State Graduate School that looks to pull back the curtain on graduate education at NC State and beyond. Join Peter Harries, Dean of the Graduate School, as he talks with current graduate students, faculty, and alumni about their why, their research, and how they're navigating their graduate journey. In our first episode, we talked with Devesh, a PhD student in electrical engineering and president of the Graduate Student Association. Let's listen in.
Okay, well, welcome to Demystification. This is a podcast we're doing where we try to give insights into graduate education. And today our guest is Devesh Hariharan, who is currently the president of the Graduate Student Association and also a PhD student in electrical engineering. So, Devesh, where we like to start these is really getting a little sense of your history, you know, how, where did you come from, you know, and why are you here?
Yeah, sure. So I grew up in India. I was born in like a smaller town, but I grew up in Chennai. Chennai is like the third largest city in India by population. It's bigger than New York. It's got 12 million people. So I grew up in the middle of the city. It was really fun. And I went from there I went to undergrad near where my grandparents lived. So every week I would go hang out with my grandparents every weekend. Yeah, I would go hang out with them. Better food than what the university was able to provide. So I graduated from my undergrad in 2018, and I got into a master's at State that fall. So I came here around that time, and after working for a little bit, I decided I wanted to do a PhD, and yeah.
I get that. So, you know, thinking back to your time as an undergrad, at what point did you know, like, graduate school was, you know, was something you wanted to pursue and you know, turned your crank?
So there were actually two reasons. First was I had been looking at courses on, like, Coursera and, like, other platforms to figure out more things that I can learn. And one of the things that struck me at the time was, you know, machine learning and, like, the uses of machine learning on, like, different fields and everything. So I was like, and I did my undergrad in electrical engineering. And I felt like that I wanted to start exploring more things. And I felt like a job at the time would not have yielded the results that I wanted with in terms of what I wanted to learn. And so that was around my sophomore year of undergrad that I was like, all right, like, this is something that I would like to see if like it's possible and like pursue. And that's what I did.
So I just want a little definition from you. You know, we hear about machine learning all the time.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But I don't think many people know what that actually means. What is machine learning?
Yeah, so machine learning is basically, to quote Andrew Ng, he's a professor from Stanford. It's like getting a computer or a program to do something without explicitly telling you to do that. So it's like a way. It's like you're developing mathematical models that can then be trained to do a specific task. So machine learning is not a new concept. It's been around for a very long time. It was a part of statistics, mainstream statistics, for a very long time, and then today most people associate machine learning with neural networks and deep learning, but that was not the case until quite recently. So after 2006 or seven, when, like, GPUs became more commonplace, That's when like this sort of just exploded. Like everybody was like into machine learning, and they were like, "Whoa, this is so cool!" And
yeah, yeah. I guess being from the outside, it seems like I only heard about it during that explosion. But getting back to your history, you know, how did you end up at NC State?
Yeah, so I was so one of the things, like I said, my goal from the beginning was to do like was to like learn different things and figure out what were interesting aspects of the courses available and everything. So I was looking, so my interest started focusing more on robotics and applications for machine learning in that. And so I looked at several universities across, it's not just the US. I was looking at Canada and in Europe and like, and also in India. I was looking at different labs that did different things. So there is a lab in Germany that does robotics, that does like four-leg robotics for getting these machines to like go to like very obscure places and like, you know, potentially like even go to Mars and like, you know, do some kind of scanning, like that kind of stuff, right? And there's labs in on the West Coast that do stuff like that. And one of the reasons why I really was looking at NC State was because I was looking at the lab that I'm working in right now, EcoPRT. We were doing self-driving vehicles. Like we're doing research on self-driving vehicles. So I was looking at computer vision for vehicles, and that was one of the main attractions for me because, there aren't that many labs that do this.
Great, yeah. And you know. In terms of your experience, you know, especially coming from another country, mm-hmm. what has been the hardest thing about adjusting to graduate school? I mean, maybe from both sort of cultural perspectives as well as academic ones.
Food. I mean, that's jokes aside, but like, I mean, that definitely was one of those things. The weirder aspect of things was in India. Meat is expensive. Like people eat meat rarely because it's expensive, and like vegetables are very cheap, right? So it's more common for most people to eat vegetarian food most of their time and then just eat meat occasionally. And when I moved here, and I would like go to the grocery store with my roommate, and I was raised vegetarian, so I would like, you know, I would see that my grocery bills were like more expensive than his for some reason. I was like, how is that even possible? that aside, there's also like the aspect of learning. So there is in India, when it comes to education, it's not as liberal as it is here.
What do you mean by that? What do you mean by liberal?
So there is a power gap, right? Like in the sense that you know, it's like it's not very easy for you to approach a professor and like talk to them, and like, you know, there's like a gap, so to speak, right? And things are a lot more rigid in terms of how courses were built, and like, you know, it's like professors didn't have as much control over what the way the courses were evaluated and all of that. So it was different. It was very different. And when I got here, it took me a little bit of time to adjust to understanding like the different types of testing, you know, even in India, when I was in undergrad, we never really had like open book tests or like stuff like that. It was always just like written tests, and we were done. And like we never had like we would have like quizzes in class, but like they didn't really count for anything. Homeworks weren't really like a big deal, but like here, it's like such a it's a thing, right? Like you if homeworks make a significant portion of your or of your grade, and like, you know, there's stuff like that, you know.
And, you know, thinking about your graduate career so far, what are the most important things that you've learned in graduate school?
So I'm going to talk also from the perspective of my work with student government, because I would definitely associate that also as a part of graduate education. Right. Just beyond the fact of like working in a lab and like understanding how research works, in you know, and like the different aspects involved with the whole scientific process in general, right? There's also the work that you do across disciplines, and being at a university where there are so many different there are different people that work on so many different things, just makes it, it gives us like an opportunity to really collaborate. Like right now, at our lab, we are working with a professor from the psychology department to test how the interactions between humans and autonomous vehicles, and like, are there ways to make it more seamless? And like, I mean, this is not something that I would have like thought of, right? And the larger aspect of grad school is the people that you meet, you know. Almost everybody who's in grad school is like very, very smart, and you'll notice that when you talk to people, right? The imposter syndrome is real. But I think that is honestly the greatest experience that I would call, because it's possible to learn things from courses online, but to be able to have a peer network that is supportive, and that's able, like, where you're actually able to like have interesting discussions and you know, conversations. I think that's the real value.
How challenging has that been to have those during COVID, where things have been, you know, much less interactive, shall we say?
It was very, very challenging. Like I'm extremely extroverted. I was luckier than most people in the sense that I was still working with student government, and student government was still functioning, right? So I at least had like some sort of a semblance of an interaction with people from like, just like people in general, right? Because during COVID, our lab almost completely shut down. Like most of our work usually happens with volunteers, and like, you know, we usually have like 20, 30 people working in the lab every week. And during COVID, it was just me and the other PhD student. And it was very isolating, and frankly, very hard. But that was really the challenge, to be able to maintain some sort of contact with people.
You've alluded to your research, which mm-hmm. is on self-driving cars, or I guess if you're in engineering, you call them autonomous vehicles, right?
Yes.
You know, in terms of the research you've done so far, like what has been the coolest thing that you've you know, developed, encountered, problem that you've solved?
So ours is a more encompassing project where we've been developing a sort of a two-person pod to supplement public transportations with. So basically when buses are like, so during the off-peak hours, buses run almost empty. And our goal was to minimize the number of buses that would run like that, and instead have a fully electric autonomous vehicle that could just be called on demand, and it could go pick someone up and like drop them off where they need to be without like, and so it would take consume significantly less energy, and would cost way less than running a bus over the, and because it's much more environmentally friendly, and like, you know, So we've had like we've been working on like several aspects of this project. A part of that was developing machine learning based control systems, and then using machine learning for recognizing obstacles and like you know and just like actors on the road, which means you know cars, trucks, bicycles, pedestrians, all this stuff, right? And so the coolest thing has been to just, I mean, the one of the best things I love about robotics is like you're not just coding. You when you, after you're done, you can actually test it on something, and to see that algorithm or whatever you've developed like working in front of you, like being able to stop right in on its track when like when it sees that there's a pedestrian on the way. Or like when it sees that there's another car, and like slow, and like just being able to see that in like in person is just like amazing. It's a rewarding experience.
How many crashes have you caused? No, I'm just kidding.
One. I have. But thankfully, the vehicle just tipped over. It didn't crash into anything.
You know, thinking about specifically about NC State, how do you see like what you've, you know, learned here, the various networks that you've built, both mm-hmm. sort of academic as well as through the Graduate Student Association. Like, what do you see as ultimately the benefits of that for your long-term sort of career goals?
Mm-hmm. I mean, so the people that I work with are all like people that are doing their master's or their PhDs. Like, these are people that are going to be professors, they're going to start their own companies, they're like, it is a valuable network to have, right? Like, and it's, and I mean, and all of these people I have a personal relationship with, which means, you know, at some point in the future when I start my own company, I would be able to like, you know, call on people for like help and like, you know, just to like get into to places where it would be otherwise, it would otherwise require more. Like, I mean, that's the whole point of networking, right? People know who you are, and people like, and like, that kind of like takes away the need for like that extensive interview, whatever, right? Like, it's the, yeah. So it will be very exciting. I mean, right now, this is just a bunch of people that are students, but in a few years, they're all gonna be like doing amazing things. And I think, That's when it really becomes significantly more valuable, right?
Yep, I get that. One of the questions we often ask people is, you know, based on where you are now, mm-hmm. like what would you tell your younger self, you know, maybe from 15 years ago that, mm-hmm. you know, that you've learned since then and, you know, maybe you didn't get at that point or, you know, you mm-hmm. just didn't grasp elements of life.
There are so many things I would like to tell.
Would your younger self listen?
No, definitely not.
But what? Yeah, what would some of those be? I mean, we don't have.
Oh yeah, no. I mean, I think the most significant of it would be to like not just judge people quickly.
Uh huh.
You know, like I mean. I guess, like as a 15-year-old, you're like much less likely to to do that. But like, but I think that is the most important thing because I have met so many incredible people, and you can't tell that they're doing amazing things and that they're doing like they're like really smart with just like looking at them, right? It's I think that would be the biggest, yeah. It's a life lesson.
Yeah, I agree with that. One more thing.
Mm-hmm.
What do you view your career trajectory as?
I'm sort of a crazy person. I've had this goal for a while now. I mean, I've always wanted to start my own robotics company, but the goal eventually is to build a company that does research on robotics that can be used in space. So,
a little Elon.
Now, I want to, so the biggest challenge humanity will face, according to, from the Kardashev scale, right, is like moving, I mean, right now, at least, is from moving from a type zero to a type one, and from type one to a type two civilization. And I want to build a Dyson sphere. I don't think it will happen by the time I'm you know, I'm dead, you know, but I want to be able to start the process, so like eventually it will happen.
Wow, that's an impressive goal. I guess cars are a small part of that.
It is. It is. Some of the same research can be applied, and like hopefully when I start my robotics company, I'm going to start focusing more on like robotics that can be more versatile, and yeah.
Well, Devesh, thanks a lot for your time. It's just been a pleasure talking to you
and
hearing
so
about your time here at NC State. And I'll look for your Dyson sphere at some point.
Well, hopefully.
Take care.
Thank you so much.
Mystification, a bi-weekly podcast produced by the NC State Graduate School. A special thank you to today's guest and our Director of Marketing and Communication, Greg Hedgepeth, for producing our show. Join Dean Peter Harries in 2 weeks as he talks with Provost Warwick Arden about his graduate education experience and resources that helped him during his time in graduate school.